And number two would be what appears to be here, the alternate to the line nine amendments, where we cannot consider that foreign entity for the purposes of determining a unitary group within the United States. What I perceive is presented to us today is only one of the policy options, whether it's included in the line nine amendments or the alternate to line nine amendments, if I'm understanding Elizabeth correctly. So we haven't had the other option presented to us. Unless the other, if I may follow up with another question, would the other option, i.e. leaving us with the ability to go beyond the water's edge for the purpose of determining a unitary group solely within the United States, would that be accomplished just by leaving the dash 24, page 15 as it is?
Representative Hanlon, if you wanted to look at that option, I would say yes, that would do it, but with the suggestion that you still insert directly or indirectly.
On line 8.
On line 8. That if you did that, have the page 15 as it is right now with the addition on line 8 after exists of the words directly or indirectly, that then the department would, I would be able to advise the department that in applying that, they would be able to look at a total economic enterprise in determining whether any two members of a consolidated return should be treated as part of a single traded business.
Mr. Chair, I would then say that, that we have basically, the alternate to line 9 amendments would embody the policy that we don't go outside the United States even for the sole purpose of determining the group within the United States, and that insertion of only the first half of the alternate to line 9 amendments, that is, the directly or indirectly, as the other policy. It seems to me that would be the way that we could choose to go either way.
Mr. Chair, I would disagree slightly with what Elizabeth has said with regard to the directly and indirectly language, directly or indirectly language being adequate to accomplish your other policy alternative. And in fact, it's the very point that got us started on this is that we think there would need to be even more clarification than that. Directly or indirectly, if you go to example one, I don't think it would cover you in that situation. Directly or indirectly suggests transactions between A and B that are being accomplished by circumventing what would otherwise appear, transactions that would otherwise appear to be what they are. In other words, if A wanted to sell something to B but was trying to avoid unitary, A could sell to the foreign corporation and the foreign corporation could in turn sell to B. And I think that your directly or indirectly language would cover that situation. So if you take the facts that we have here, where that isn't what's going on, but there is activity between A with the foreign corporation and B with the foreign corporation, I'm not sure that the directly or indirectly language would cover that problem.
So if we were to choose that policy, Elizabeth and Mr. Gaffney could perhaps, if there's that difference between, potential difference between the two of you, could look again at the potential wording.
Jim, I would like to ask why it might be a problem if they were not dealing with each other through the foreign corporation. They would not be unitary in that sense, it seems, and there would be no direct or indirect activity between them.
Mr. Chair, when you say problem, the only problem I really see here is one of clarification, and we're not pursuing one answer or the other. All we're pursuing is that whichever policy choice is made can be more clearly stated in the statute. I would contend that if you opt for the other policy that would include activities with a foreign parent, that a paragraph similar to paragraph C be modified to accomplish that. In either case, I would keep the directly or indirectly language in the amendment.
Mr. Chair? I appreciate Mr. Gaffney's comments, and I think we owe it to if define the law as best we can without the potential, there's always the potential, but with less potential for litigation. If we just make the policy decision, I'm sure we'll have the words, one way or the other.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Trainer.
Good time, Stan.
Are you done, Tom?
This is a technical question on your amendment.
Okay.
Your paragraph C amendment. Let me work through. I think I understand now what you're attempting to get at with the proposal. But it says that, reading through it, it says, "Well, the two or more corporations that are included in the same federal consolidated return or engaged in the same trade or business may be determined by reference to other corporations that are doing business in the United States and subject to federal income taxation." Whether or not, what I guess you're saying is, to make this determination, you can look at other similar corporations, see how they treat you. Is that what you're saying there?
Representative Trinkman, the purpose of the amendment is to permit the department not to look at other similarly situated corporations, but to look at other corporations that they are related to or are carrying on an integrated economic activity with, even though those corporations aren't part of that federal consolidated return for the sole reason that they either aren't incorporated in the U.S. or the common ownership relationship is less than 80%. That's what the amendment is trying to focus on, is...
Mr. Chairman.
But then with the last sentence, you're saying they cannot look at any other corporations other than that one that's outside the federal consolidated return, but is related to the two other, or two or more other corporations that are within the consolidated return.
That's correct.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Burroughs.
I need to put this in real simple terms. Let's pretend time. Mitsubishi?
That's close enough.
Mitsubishi has two corporations. A is Kageyama and B is Kyoto. I hope I can remember that myself. One provides the chips. You gotta help me with let's pretend. One provides the hardware. And Kageyama is providing some of the components. They both go back into Mitsubishi, and what you're trying to say is you want to look at Kageyama and Kyoto. Is that right? Is that what we're saying? In very, very simple terms. They're both owned by Mitsubishi.
Who's the Oregon taxpayer?
Don't get technical.
That's the foundation of the problem, though.
They're both in Oregon, and you want to know if they're
the two subsidiaries are in Oregon.
Okay, let's pretend one that they both are in Oregon, and one that one's out of Oregon. Let's do that.
Okay, but Mitsubishi is outside.
Yep.
Okay, and the other two are in a federal consolidated return, and they're both Oregon taxpayers.
Yeah, that's one example. Yeah.
Right. Okay. The question that has to be decided is, as a matter of policy, in determining whether Kageyama and Kyoto start out in the same Oregon return, combined report for Oregon, whether the department can look at or whether they should take into consideration the fact that they both have a relationship with Mitsubishi, which makes all three of them part of a single economic enterprise.
That's really the policy question we're trying to deal with. Mm-hmm.
Do you cut off one portion of that and only look at the three options are, yes, you can look at it regardless of where that other corporation is, whether it's a foreign corporation or not. The kind of compromise alternative language that I've been discussing with you is, yes, you can if that corporation's got activities and tax liability in the U.S. It doesn't have to be in Oregon, but it would be in the U.S., so it kind of goes along with the water's edge concept of the special session bill. And the third alternative is no, because Mitsubishi is not a part of that federal consolidated return, can't look at that relationship. You can only look and say, does Kyoto and Kageyashi have a direct interaction This is to create a unitary relationship between them.
Good.
I'm comfortable with the amendment now that I had to use some examples, so I'm sure that I was in train. I represent trainer.
But if we decided that we wanted to look at item three, alternative three, what we said, no, we're not going to look at that outside corporation. What kind of amendments would you want to do to that?
Representative Trainer, I think there would be amendments that would be more like the original line nine, where the language includable in a consolidated return was put in. That would indicate an intent that only those corporations that were already in the consolidated return would be looked at to determine whether they were part of a single trigger business. And not looking at either indirect relationships through corporations outside or overall economic unit, part of which was outside and part of which was inside the corporate federal consolidated return.
Elizabeth, what would be the effect of accepting the 5685 amendments with the last sentence deleted?
Well, Representative Schooner, the purpose of that last sentence was in an attempt to make very clear that although that paragraph C did permit reference to certain other corporations in making that single trader business determination, that those are the only ones. And so I don't know that there's a huge change by eliminating that last sentence. It just may be a little bit of overkill. But that was the reason that I put it in, was to make it clear, the last, very last sentence of that after line 21 language, was to make it clear that only those would be available, only those described in that paragraph would be available.
Okay, if we took out the last sentence, would there be anything to prohibit the department from using the step theory to look at the relationships that occur through a foreign corporation to determine whether sub A and B are unitary?
I have a real problem with trying to apply the step transaction doctrine and making a determination of whether there's a unitary relationship. After the subcommittee meeting, I went back and did some more research on the whole theory of the step transaction doctrine and the context in which it is applied at the federal level. And I do not see a direct enough relationship between reorganizations of corporate structures and acquisition of assets by direct or indirect processes as being translatable enough that we wouldn't have some strong resistance from a taxpayer if we tried to say, well, we're going to look at whether you're unitary with a larger group here, and we're going to call it the step transaction doctrine. Okay. There are characteristics that you look at in trying to determine whether a single trader business exists that aren't transactions.
Right.
They're ongoing relationships, and I just have real difficulty with that, and I would be fearful of litigation before we'd be able to assert that we could use that doctrine.
Okay, just one more question. In the first example, is the foreign corporation doing business in the United States?
That's not an assumed fact. It could be. If it was, then it could be taken into consideration. If it was not, then it would not be taken into consideration.
Okay, but I think the thing we're concerned about is whether sub A and sub B are transacting materials and money between each other through the foreign corporation. And it seems to me that if the foreign corporation would have to be selling into the United States in order to do that. So it appears to me that they're doing business in the United States.
Well, the key to the language is that they would also be subject to federal income taxation.
Right.
In the more common, my understanding is, in the more common kinds of companies that are coming into the U.S., establishing subsidiaries here, that they have treaties with the federal government as to when their activities are going to be taxable and when they aren't. And the standard provision is that a foreign corporation that was incorporated outside the host country would have to have what's called a permanent establishment here, which would be, you know, an office, a permanent place of doing business, before they would be subject to U.S. tax. So if it was just selling to its subsidiary, and the subsidiary is the one that had the foreign, had the permanent establishment, the foreign corporation wouldn't be subject to U.S. tax.
Would not?
Pardon me?
Would or would not?
Would not. Would not.
Okay, members, we have to adjourn now. Some of us have 1 o'clock committee hearings, and we'll take up again tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
Well, do you want to resolve this? Do we?
I don't think so. Not at this time. We'll do it tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Okay, we're adjourned.